Chapter 11. Along the Trocha, this is an account of a voyage of discovery along the Spanish Trocha, the one at the eastern end of Cuba. It is the longer of the two, and stretches from coast to coast at the narrowest part of that half of the island, from Jucaro on the south to Moron on the north. Before I came to Cuba this time, I had read in our newspapers about the Spanish Trocha without knowing just what a trocha was. I imagined it to be a rampart of earth and fallen trees, topped with barbed wire, a Rubicon that no one was allowed to pass, but which the insurgents apparently crossed at will with the ease of little girls leaping over a flying skipping rope. In reality, it seems to be a much more important piece of engineering than is generally supposed, and one which, when completed, may prove an absolute barrier to the progress of large bodies of troops, unless they are supplied with artillery. I saw 25 of its 50 miles, and the engineers in charge told me that I was the first American, or foreigner of any nationality, who had been allowed to visit it, and make drawings and photographs of it. Why they allowed me to see it, I do not know, nor can I imagine either, why they should have objected to my doing so. There is no great mystery about it. Indeed, what impressed me most concerning it was the fact that every bit of material used in constructing this backbone of the Spanish defense, this strategic point of all their operations, and their chief hope of success against the revolutionists, was furnished by their despised and hated enemies in the United States. Every sheet of armor plate, every corrugated zinc roof, every roll of barbed wire, every plank, beam, rafter and girder, even the nails that hold the planks together, the forts themselves, shipped in sections, which are numbered in readiness for setting up, the ties for the military railroad which clings to the trocha from one sea to the other, all of these have been supplied by manufacturers in the United States. This is interesting when one remembers that the American in the Spanish illustrated papers is represented as a hog, and generally with the United States flag for trousers, and Spain as a noble and valiant lion. Yet it would appear that the lion is willing to save a few dollars on freight by buying his armament from his hoggish neighbor, and that the American who cheers for Cuba Libre is not at all averse to making as many dollars as he can in building the wall against which the Cubans may be eventually driven and shot. If the insurgents have found as much difficulty in crossing the Trocha by land as I found in reaching it by water, they are deserving of all sympathy as patient and long-suffering individuals. A thick jungle stretches 4 miles on either side of the Trocha, and the only way of reaching it from the outer world is through the seaports at either end. Of these, Moron is all but landlocked, and Jucaro is guarded by a chain of keys, which make it necessary to reship all the troops, and their supplies and all the material for the trocha to lighters, which meet the vessel 6 miles out at sea. A dirty Spanish steamer drifted with us for 2 nights, and a day from Cienfuegos to Jucaro, and 300 Spanish soldiers, moldy, ragged and barefooted, owned her as completely as though as he had been a regular transport. They sprawled at full length over every deck, their guns were stacked in each corner, and their hammocks swung 4 deep from railings and riggings and across companionways, and even from the bridge itself. It was not possible to take a step without treading on one of them, and their hammocks made a walk on the deck something like a hurdle race. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.